Today's reading is from St. Luke. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those were who were sent and found it as he had said them, told them. And they were untying the colt. Its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. As we continue our sermon series on Turning the Corner, I invite you to take out the little piece of paper in your worship guide, which is just a place to take some notes. As Pastor Rob often says, and I believe too, the most important word you might hear this morning might not be anything that I say, but might be something that God prompts in you that you would want to keep track of or jot down, because it might be the word that you need to hear and to hold on to this week. Now that scripture passage that we just heard, I don't know if you've spent much time around the church or if this is relatively new to you, but it's not a scripture passage that we often read this time of year, particularly not on the Sunday where we are asking you to make your commitments for how you'll support our ministry in the year ahead. This is a passage about a donkey and untying it and bringing it to Jesus that we usually hear on Palm Sunday, as we're getting ready for Jesus' entry into Jerusalem and to the events that are Easter. I don't know that it looks much like this picture on the screen, but maybe that gives you a little sense of what it could have been like. Now, the donkey is a really important character, and I want to explain why. You see, there's an Old Testament prophecy that said that the Messiah would one day come with humility, riding in on a donkey. So Jesus needs to have a donkey because he's the Messiah. But it can't just be any donkey, the book of Zechariah says. No, it has to be a colt that has never been ridden. Now, what does a donkey who's never been ridden have to do with us turning the corner from getting to giving? Fair question. I'm really glad you asked. To begin with, let's just start with thinking about what could the significance of a donkey even be in the first place, right? Particularly in Jesus' day and time. We see donkeys in the first century were really critical animals. They were like utility vehicles in terms of transportation. They were able to haul things, right? To plow things, to pull equipment. Now, we don't own many donkeys today, so it left me searching a bit for what might be our modern day equivalent. And the best thing that I could come up with is that a donkey might be a little bit like a pickup truck, okay? It has the ground clearance and the horsepower to get the job done that we need. Now, if you're not much of a pickup truck person, I want to just play a little clip for you that Sam Elliott is in. This is from a few years back, to give you a sense of what we kind of believe trucks make possible in our lives. Let's take a look at this.
To take it all head on, channel the universe. Shorten the distances. Push beyond the possible. Roar past convention. Shift every course. Defy the elements. And bring the world to its knees. It takes the new 2013 Ram 1500, engineered to move heaven and earth.
The road doesn't end here. This is only the beginning.
Guts, glory, Ram.
Now, I don't know about you, but I have never had so much hope in a pickup truck, right? I mean, it can move heaven and earth. That's literally what they say in the ad. I'm just like, wow, this is quite a truck. How do I get one of those? And I'm not even a pickup truck guy. I mean, how does this work? Well, imagine for just a moment if instead of a donkey, the thing that these owners had was a pickup truck, right? It would be that thing that's sitting in their driveway. Maybe it's one like this one they described. It has all of these bells and whistles and fancy features, right? And so these owners have this pickup truck in their driveway, and then all of a sudden they come home. Maybe, as it usually works in my house, you forget something, right? And so you pull back into the driveway, you leave the keys in the car because you're just running inside quickly to get something, and you're going to run right back out. Only when the owners come right back out of their house, they notice that sitting in this amazing pickup truck that they have are two total strangers who they don't know at all. Now, the guys get ready to turn the key, and I can imagine that if I'm the owner of this truck, I run out yelling something like, "Hey, what do you think you're doing? Like, wait a minute." And yet, in that moment, these men kind of look at you, and they just say, "Well, the Lord has need of it." And I can imagine the owner sort of saying, "Oh, really? Okay, then. Well, why don't you just take the truck and drive off? That would be great." It seems kind of bizarre, doesn't it? Like how this whole story gets set up. Like that there has to be more to what's going on here than what we can see on the surface. And as I read this story, I found myself wondering, how would I be like if I were the owner of this donkey or this brand new truck, as we're kind of talking about it? Would I have given it up so freely? I think the answer, if I'm honest, is I doubt it. You see, in the season of life that I'm in, where I'm kind of striving after these dreams and the hopes that I have, if you make the effort to own something, to protect it, to secure it, the word I would use is to insure it, right? If you make the effort to do that, you have plans for what this thing is going to mean in your life, right? You're thinking about how it will help you succeed, or how maybe it will grow your business, or how it will help provide for your family. You own things because they have a purpose that you have planned for. Now, Megan and I, to make this very concrete, are actually in the market right now for a new car. You see, we're in this season in life where we're thinking about starting a family. And so we need a vehicle that can accommodate two adults, a dog, and we hope one day perhaps even a car seat. So we're searching. It's a lot to take in. And with all of our planning, here's one thing that we have not planned for: two disciples who will also sit in this vehicle. Because, right, those disciples, I'm sure, have a different perspective on how this vehicle might be used than Megan and I do. They see what we have already: our time, our talents, in our case, our financial resources. And what I see when I look at that is, we have something, but we don't have a lot. We don't have that much to offer. And yet, to these two disciples, when they walk along, they see how even the little bit that we have could be used for something far more significant in God's story than maybe what I have the vision to see right now. When I hear this phrase, "the Lord has need of it," it's easy for me to be tempted to respond, "Yes, and so do I." And yet, if I just go through life holding on to everything I already have, it doesn't ultimately make me feel any more secure or any more hopeful about our world. What I really want, if I'm honest, is a sense that I am a part of making hope happen, right? That God might use me and what little I have to be a part of making a real difference. And that can't happen, of course, if everything I own fits neatly into my little plan. Because what I miss are what other people right around me might need, or how God might use me in their lives. To give you just a quick example of this that happened this week, God sent me a messenger, kind of like these two disciples, to reframe my perspective. This messenger happened to be named Adam Rushnick, who's one of our staff members at the Crooked Creek Food Pantry, where all of our food donated today will be heading. And Adam, just that day, had a man come by the pantry who had won a free turkey for Thanksgiving. And when he came, he didn't just bring himself to get the turkey, he brought a neighbor. And he explained to Adam that, "You see, this lady, I'd like for her to have my free turkey because she has more need of it than I do. It was a moment where I thought, wow, that's a totally different perspective. I don't know that in my plan there's room for someone to come along and for me to see the need that they have. And yet Adam's word was how these folks were a messenger of what God is seeing all around us every day and how God could use him to be a part of that story. It helped give me a slightly different perspective, and it helped me to think about how I might begin to turn the corner on what I imagine to be possible. Now, this week, I heard an interview on NPR that put this in a new light for me. You see, it was with the actor Viola Davis, who you probably recognize as one of the most talented people working in Hollywood today. And she was describing what success looks like, and her metaphor was climbing a mountain. She said, you work so hard to reach the summit, whatever that image is of it that you have. And she knows that for her, when you get there, you can find yourself asking, okay, but now what? She described how many of the folks she knows who would be considered at the top of their game in Hollywood, actually, when you ask them, feel like life is crumbling a bit because they have all of these things, but the thing that they don't have is significance. And she talked about what significance looks like for her. It's living authentically and in doing so in such a way that you leave a legacy, that what happens in this dash of time that we're given is something that makes a difference in the lives of others, not just in our own. Which left me trying to imagine, how might the owners of the donkey have felt if, unlike me, trying to buy a new car, they were maybe in a season that's a little more like Viola Davis's? Maybe they've had great success in their life. They're farther along the journey. Maybe if they had most of their dreams fulfilled, imagine if after that they had bought this new donkey in hand, and then later in their lives, these two disciples show up. Now, since we're not movie stars, maybe this version of the story could feel a little more relatable. I can imagine that back when these folks were starting out, maybe like me in this season, perhaps they had met a man along their way named Jesus. Maybe they were in some kind of trouble, sick or suffering from addiction. Maybe they had made some terrible mistake along the way or were just simply searching for direction. And into their life and their time of need, Jesus crosses their path. And that encounter that they had with him, it changes something. He's able to hear what their deep pain is and to invite them into a new kind of life, one in which they're set free and forgiven and pointed in a new way, given a new perspective. And in gratitude, I can imagine that these owners would have asked Jesus, Lord, what could we ever begin to do to repay you for this amazing thing you've done in our lives? And I could imagine Jesus saying, simply live my commandments faithfully, and maybe one day there'll be something specific that you could do for me. So the owners do, right? I can imagine that they go on and they work hard. They set up a home and maybe they start a sign business. One of them is a graphic designer, and so they work out of their living room, right? And the other's the person out there installing the signs wherever it is. Now they scrimp and they save as their family grows to try to provide for them. And eventually the business begins to take off. They move out of the living room into a real office. They get not one beat up pickup truck, but two to help this whole thing continue to grow, right, along the way. And I can imagine their business doing so well that one day they're having this meeting, maybe three decades down the road, with their accountant, who looks at them and says something accountants never say, which is, you seem to have been really blessed in your life and in your business. Is there anything that you want, that you'd love to have for yourself that maybe you've put off? Again, accountants never actually say this, right? And the couple looks at each other and they says, you know what we'd really love is a brand new pickup truck. We've always had these kind of beat up cars that we've used, and a new pickup truck would just be amazing. And so they talk about it at home, and then they head down to the dealership and they pick out this beautiful new black 3/4 ton, I'll call it a Ram for the sake of the ad, pickup truck, right? It's got like all that technology, running boards, the whole works, right? It's amazing. And they go back a few days later to actually pick it up and sign all the paperwork, and they drive it home and park it in the driveway. and then proceed to get some tea or something and just sit on the front porch and with great pride admire this thing that they never thought would be possible in their lives. And of course, what you and I know as the owners of this beautiful pickup truck is it's always about 2 hours later when these two disciples show up. I can imagine them looking down at a piece of paper and saying, "Yep, this is the right address." And as they start walking up the driveway, the couple sitting on the porch says, "Excuse me, can I help you? Do you need anything?" And they said, "Yes, actually, we need the truck." At which point, I can imagine them saying, I don't think you understand. Like, this truck isn't for sale. We just got it. It's not something we're willing to part with." And in that moment, what would it have been like if one of those disciples would have looked them at the level and said, "Well, the Lord has need of it"? I can imagine that that phrase might have caused them to freeze and to think to themselves, "Wow, I remember back a long time ago when we met that man on the road named Jesus, who was able to set us free from the things that held us back, who was able to give us a new kind of life and perspective. And if we hadn't met Jesus on the road back then, I don't know that we'd be in a position now to even think about owning this pickup truck, let alone having this business or this family." That moment changed everything and set us on a totally new path. And so I can imagine, with a bit of a shrug and maybe a slight grin, those owners looking at each other and handing over the keys. Could the owners of this donkey have felt something like this? After all their hard work and this new donkey they've planned for what it will do, they simply offer it to these disciples. I think when we are willing to turn the corner from thinking, as I'm often tempted to do, about what I can get, to ingratitude, thinking about what we can give to God, things begin to change. Maybe letting go of that donkey wasn't so hard because these owners understood that God could do something significant in their lives, and now God wanted to do something significant in the lives of other people through them. They didn't give because they had to. This wasn't some kind of forced obligation, or they weren't fearful of the consequences if they didn't. I think they gave in response simply to the knowledge that God could use what they had in ways that were bigger and more extravagant and more impactful than they yet could imagine. In his Friday email, Pastor Rob told a story that's true and happened just not that long ago here in our church. It's about a woman from India who found her way to St. Luke's and started out at the Connect Here booth looking for how to get involved, and then eventually sought out some of our pastors asking for prayer. You see, she had been diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder, and she eventually discovered that she was going to have to lose her kidneys. They were not functioning properly. She needed to find a suitable donor who might help her get a kidney transplant. Rob shared her situation in one of his weekly Friday emails, and a woman in our church, moved by it, sought out to see whether she herself might be an eligible donor. She discovered that she wasn't and was telling the story and kind of the adventure of it to her daughter. And unbeknownst to her, her daughter had recently had this very vivid dream. It was one in which she went to heaven and she was asked by God what she had done with her life. And she was complimented on the many contributions that she had made. But then God asked her this very specific question: "Why didn't you give a kidney? You had a chance, but you didn't." And the woman woke up bewildered, totally unsure of what does this dream even mean. And then she was talking with her daughter, with her mom, who shared this story about this woman from India. And she knew in that moment that this might be God's way of nudging her and trying to help her understand what this dream meant. This young woman, who's a physician, went and got herself tested, and it was determined that she is a match. And so later this month, a surgery is scheduled for her to donate one of her kidneys to this young woman from India who found her way here to St. Luke's. Isn't that incredible? Why does someone do something like this two complete strangers who have no business in any way by the world's standards connecting with each other. I think it's because what is significant in life is not for her what she can get, but what she can give. And the mission of our church here at St. Luke's that we say every week is to be an open community of Christians that help people to find and give hope through Jesus Christ. Because we carry out this mission as an open community for all people, I think a woman from India is able to find hope from another woman who otherwise she wouldn't be connected with. And that woman is able to give hope to her. This is what we're about here at St. Luke's. This is what we make possible in all kinds of ways through the ministry of our church. We seek every day to be that kind of place where some will find and some will give the hope of Jesus Christ and the hope of life new in our world. Which I think brings all of us to this hard question, right? What is it that we have that the Lord can use? I want to invite you in just a moment to take out the pledge card that's in your bulletin. I think it's tucked in an envelope for you, and to take a look at it. This is the one time a year where we come to you and we ask you to simply think about how you might practically answer this question in your life. What do we have which the Lord can use? In just a moment, we're going to get to see a video that provides pictures and images of how what we gave last year enabled people to find and give hope. It can't possibly in 3.5 minutes cover everything we do in the life of our church, but it gives you a sense of the way God is using this place and the kind of hope and joy that people are finding and experiencing here. And as you see this video, this is a chance for you to think about how you might pledge your support through your service, through your prayers, through your presence to be with us, and through your financial gifts. What could you give to support our ministry that helps us build our budget and plan for the future? Now, if you're not an active part of our congregation or you're just visiting with us for today, I want to thank you for being here. But I also want to say that on this very special Sunday, this isn't meant to make you anxious, okay? Or to feel awkward if you're not yet ready to participate. That's okay. It's not expected. But if you are here and you find yourself saying, you know, I do want to make a commitment. I want to offer something that is certainly welcome as well. After we watch this video, I'm going to come up and lead us in prayer and then invite us to come and make our response. And I'll share just a little more of how we'll do that. Let's take a look at what our ministry has enabled in the last year.
You live among the least of these, the weary and the weak. And it would be a tragedy for me to turn away. All my needs you have supplied. When I was dead, you gave me life. How could I not give it away so freely? And I'll follow you to the homes of the broken. I'll follow you into the world. I'll meet the needs for the poor and the needy, God. I'll follow you into the world. Faith without works is dead. To you.
These are just some of the things that God is doing in and through you and in and through our community. And in just a moment, we're going to have the opportunity to make our response for how we'll partner with God and what God imagines that maybe you and I can't yet even see in and through us as a church. What we're going to invite you to do is to fill out your pledge card as you're ready to do that. And just as you feel led to come forward, there are baskets here at the front where you can leave that. And then we'd like to invite you to take one of our new 2019 St. Luke's coffee mugs. These are then handed out to new members as they come as a way of just expressing that you're a part of this community. And you get to be the first ones to take part because you're investing in us and in what God will do in and through us. So the band's going to come and lead us in just a second, and I'll invite you to stand and we'll sing together and just come as you feel led. But before we do that, would you pause and just pray with me now? Oh God, in our community, there are so many things for which we give thanks. We give thanks that this open community of Christians exists and for the way that the truth of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the transforming power of his love and grace are on a weekly basis shown. I thank you for the many ways we are partnering with you and other nonprofits around the city to make a transforming difference in our world. And I thank you for the way that classes and groups form people into those who know your commands and seek in all the places you call and invite us to live them out. Take our commitments now. They're but a part of what we have, but everything we have is yours. And so we offer it back to you with generosity, believing that you will continue to invite us into deeper faithfulness and into a deeper experience of how we're going to make a hopeful and transforming difference in our world. God, lead us, I pray, not just today, but in the days to come into this future that you have for us as a community. I give you thanks for each person here and for what their presence means and for the way that their gifts continue to shape and strengthen and grow us. We ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen.